What is truth? This question asked by Pontius Pilate in our drama and in our scripture readings for tonight has echoed through history. Philosophers, skeptics, unbelievers have all wrestled with this question since time began. And even in our modern age, the vast knowledge of the internet at our fingertips defining truth actually still remains elusive. I did a quick Google search as I was prepping for this sermon, and the first response was what truth is that it is the quality or state of being true. Well, that's less than helpful. In fact, with so much information in our world today, it becomes harder and harder in many and various ways for us to know and to understand what is true and what is not. But yet, truth, it remains fundamental. When it hits you, when you experience truth, I'd say it hits you and it resonates through you like a tuning fork. But if truth is so fundamental, why do we still struggle to grasp it, to understand it? Or why do others even still miss it and let it pass right in front of their face? Pilate, he had truth standing right there in front of him, and yet he refused to acknowledge it. As we learned in the drama as well as scripture, his wife recognized something very special about Jesus. And Pilate, and she warned Pilate against condemning him. Now let this be a lesson that if you're ever not sure about something, your wife is probably right. But in all seriousness, our human wisdom alone cannot comprehend the truth of God. Left to ourselves, we doubt. Is Jesus really who he claims to be? Is he trustworthy? Is he truth? So to answer these questions, let's dig a little bit deeper. The Greek word for truth, it's called aletheia. That's a beautiful name, by the way. It means not only truth, but something like uprightness and dependability. When we say that something is dependable, it means that we can trust it. It does what it is supposed to do. I propose then that truth and trust, both of these two, go hand in hand. For example, right now, you guys all trust the chairs you're sitting on to hold up your weight. You trust the ground beneath your feet to stay firm. You trust that the air around you, you can still breathe it in. Now, these different things, they shape our reality, but of course, they're only shadows of the ultimate truth that's found in Christ. But trust and truth, they both work together a lot. Now let's apply this to people. Now, I don't know about you guys, I'm sure we all do, but we tend to admire those who are honest and who can keep their word. A person who follows through on their promises earns trust. It's a good reputation that's built on faithfulness. That sounds easy to do, right? No, not so much. We all like to try to make promises that we struggle to keep. We fall short. We, into safe face, we often make these empty promises. Maybe you set a goal at work that you know you can't follow through on. Maybe you cancel your dinner plans with your friends for the third time still this year. Maybe you promise your family some more time, and yet you push them more and more to the sideline. But each empty promise we make, it weakens our credibility. The more we fail to keep our word, the more that our reputation ends up fading, and the less truthful you and I become. Pilate himself, he made one of these empty promises to himself. In John 19, verses 11 and 10, he claimed to have authority over Jesus' fate. Yet ultimately, the man caved to the demands of the crowd. His power, it counted for nothing compared to the forces of the world that were pressing in on him. Might makes right, or so it seems. Rome, they ruled with an iron fist, believing that power could determine truth. where is Rome now? Now, I definitely have an appreciation for Italian culture. Ask my wife, Italian food is the best food under the sun, and I think anyone would agree with that. But Rome is far from the glory that it once possessed. Their glory days are long gone. Let it be a lesson that earthly kingdoms fade and human promises, they end up crumbling. How often do we make empty promises to ourselves, to our families, and even to God? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I find myself, whenever we gather for confession and absolution here, I confess the same sins week after week. I keep struggling with the same weaknesses. Our words, our resolutions, and our efforts seem to lead nowhere. But there is one whose word never fails, one whose word never comes up empty. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth incarnate. Now, what does this mean? Well, every single word he spoke came to pass. He healed the sick with a word. He cast out demons with just a word. With just a word, he commanded the dead to rise, and they did. And he predicted his own death and resurrection not once, not twice, but on three separate occasions, and then fulfilled it. And he promises to you that this is true, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in it shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, the most common Bible verse, and this promise applies to each and every one of us. He's good for it, and he has never let anyone down. People will let you down. Institutions will crumble. Nations will fail. Even you and I will stumble in doubt. But I want to encourage you all today, our Lord will never fail. His promises never come up empty. The only thing that came up empty was his tomb. And because of that empty tomb, we have the assurance of life everlasting. This is truth. According to our drama, Pilate's wife believed it and followed her Savior to a new life. May we also follow the truth, which leads to life everlasting. Amen.